I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Simon Marks joins us from Washington, D.C. now for more on this. Simon, strong words from Mr. Blinken on China, as well as from General Lloyd Austin as well. How far can these words go, though?
Well, I think this is the first empirical evidence that we've had, Dawn, of just how hard a line the Biden administration intends to take, at least in the early stages of the president's administration towards Beijing. And in a way, while there was a lot of talk about coercive behavior on the part of the Chinese and their territorial aspirations in the South China Seas, in a way, the key phrase that was used there by the Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, was, "We're united in the vision of a free and open Indo-Pacific region," because everything else you could have put into the mouths of Trump administration officials. But what these Biden administration officials are doing is building essentially a coalition that will back the positions that President Biden takes towards China. That's one of the reasons these meetings are taking place in Japan and South Korea before the meeting later this week with top Chinese diplomats in Anchorage, Alaska. So it is evidence that the Biden administration is going to go to the mat on issues like human rights in Xinjiang and Tibet over China's territorial aspirations and the threats that the Biden administration says that China poses to its neighbors in the region. But doing so in a manner that allows American diplomats, they hope, to speak with the imprimatur of approval from some of China's neighbors in the region, including this week, the imprimatur that they hope they will be gathering in both Tokyo and Seoul.
Simon, expectations haven't been high for outcomes for this Alaska summit on Thursday, but could this latest exchange have an impact, perhaps, on those upcoming talks with Beijing?
Yeah, I think there's no question that that's a possibility. I mean, the Chinese will obviously have to decide how they seek to respond to the language that the Secretary of State and the Defense Secretary have used. Remember, there's nothing inherently new about the language or the tonality that these two American cabinet secretaries are striking, as opposed to the kind of rhetoric that we used to hear, for example, from then Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, or from President Trump, for that matter, when it comes to China. But the Chinese are facing now a slightly different opponent in these conversations, in the sense that the Biden administration is saying, look, we are going to be competitive where we should be, adversarial where we must be, and collaborative where we can be. So there's an opportunity within that conversation to focus on the collaborative piece of all of this. But there's also a danger inherent in that to the Chinese, because, for example, the Biden administration has indicated it would like to break the climate change discussion off from other elements of disagreement between Washington, D.C. and Beijing. Given that that's an ask that the Americans may be making, the Chinese will have to decide, do they go along with it, or do they say, no, we want this to be a one holistic conversation that deals with everything, warts and all. I think it's going to be an important meeting, that one, in a couple of days' time in Alaska.
Certainly will be. And meantime, Simon, we've also had some rather colourful language from North Korea vis-a-vis the United States. How do you expect the White House to respond to what are being seen as North Korea's latest threats?
Well, they indicated yesterday that they had made these overtures to the North Koreans, which now we know Kim Jong-un's sister, presumably speaking on behalf of the North Korean government, has absolutely rejected. It'll be interesting to see what the White House press secretary has to say later today, what we get from the State Department when that briefing occurs. There will, I think, be a desire to keep the focus firmly on the relationship with Beijing ahead of those talks in Anchorage. North Korea may clearly be an agenda item for those talks, but whether we are still in an era of sort of constantly accelerating tit for tat, as we were to some extent during the Trump presidency with the very colourful language that then-President Donald Trump would use about the North Koreans, I think that's unlikely. I think we may see a pause before the next American move on this issue.
Simon, thank you very much for that. Simon Marks there in Washington, D.C.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.